Welcome to the Hour of Truth. And I have Philip Walthall here on my right and James Usler out there in left field. And we're going to thank you. I assume that's Sue in Arizona. It is another week where we talk about how good the Lord is, and sitting there just pondering some of stuff that Steve said. He said it's a lot of good stuff. But one of the things was that the goodness of the Lord is that we are. We can partake of the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father, but that's not to go ahead and sin more. It's to learn how to get to learn how to please Him, to learn how to be obedient here and obedient and in heaven, where there is no more grace. So it is we're in it, we're in a training ground, and as long as that grace is hanging out there, and the word says the Lord is at hand, why wouldn't you reach out and partake of that grace? Get in the study of how to stay when there is no more grace. You're going to have to be good at being obedient. You're going to have to do the word of the Lord. It scares me. I know how I am. That's what we're about here. We're about the business of having the Lord change our hearts, about teaching us to choose His ways over ours, to choose to believe His word and not our own understanding of, because our own understanding, it's carnal and it's cursed.
Yeah, I mean, it's opposite of the Lord.
Absolute opposite.
I mean, it's, the scripture says it's enmity. It's hard for me to say that word. And another word for enemy. I mean, it's absolutely 180 degrees from it. And I was going to say something else, but I lost it.
Well.
But yeah, lean on your own understanding. I mean, that's something that the scripture clearly states not do. Trust in the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. Because thine own understanding, it's cursed, like you said. It's at enmity with God. It gives us all flawed information according to the ways of the Lord.
You can't
all
trust
flawed.
The input you're getting from that. That interface is broken.
That's absolutely.
That's broken.
Absolutely. And that's why the Lord gives us a new interface.
That's right.
Spirit.
Well, the good thing about this is it is not undoable and it is not unknowable.
Amen.
And, that's why we come together. That's why we come together and do Bible studies. That's why we come together and do worship services together and spend time hanging out, fellowshipping with one another.
And that fellowship is
provoking one another.
The love and good works. And wouldn't believe just how many of the times, for an example, maybe hanging out with you, Paulie, or hanging out with Scott, or hanging out with others in the ministry, that one, in the midst of hanging out and that fellowship that happens in the midst of that, the things that you learn from it are the things that you minister from your own experience to another when they're going through a thing, that those things would have never passed unless you fellowship with one another.
That's right. And, you know, I probably didn't spend enough time talking about the great miracle of Scott and Melanie's child. I mean, it the prayer of faith was executed over the diagnosis they got, and you know, the Lord moved. The Lord moved, and it's another thing is Steve was talking about, but where the people of the Lord are, there's evidence that the Lord is with them.
Amen. Because what was being shown there was, it was not something that Melanie could do or Scott could do or David could do. No, it was something that what the Lord could do. It was evidence of what He's able to do. And that is what...
It's also proof that He answers prayers.
Amen.
And it also made them step out in faith. And, you know, they... I believe Steve said, I think it was Steve, that, you know, when they went back to the doctor, that there was no evidence of that disease anymore. But
that's
that
right.
Doesn't negate our flesh, and that in the back of our head still we're, you know what I mean, we could easily fall into fear that it is still there. But they stood in faith and believed God.
War against unbelief, you know.
Right.
And I constantly having to choose to disregard, to doubt the doubt. And cast all my faith, the whole lot of it, with Jesus Christ and His Word. And, you know, the longer I am here, and the more totally encompassing the work and complete the work that Jesus Christ did, there's, you know, it's about what He did. It's not about what I can do. It's not about my righteousness. It's not about y'all's righteousness. It's about His righteousness. It's about His obedience. It's about
Amen.
His ability to teach, demonstrate, to show what the Father wants in a servant, in somebody who wants to reconcile with the Father. You need to look like Jesus when it's over with. And even to the point of not my will but thine. And it's when He says it's finished, it's finished, and it was finished right where it was started. It started for us at birth, and it was finished in the same separation at the cross. But Jesus rose to new life, and He took everybody believed and had faith with Him. That faith that was reckoned as righteousness, imputed to Abraham as righteousness. That's the gospel. That was before the law.
And it's an interesting thing.
Nobody can be justified by the law. Nobody.
That's right. And what is interesting, I mean, Abraham has that example, and it says that word imputed. I like that word imputed because it was, or you can even say accounted, because that was something that was put on Abraham. That was the Lord's righteousness he believed and he put that on Abraham. You know, I like the highlighted point where Steve had brought up the highlighted point where it's his is righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you see the report of Abraham and where it says, and Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was put on. Lord put that on. And, you know, something that you had said, James, just a little bit ago, in the sense of, and then that's also the stepping out in faith, because even there was no evidence of that, that disease being gone, and yet that was no more, and the Lord took care of those things. He handled them. It was one that where, yet, the putting off of the doubt and unbelief that you're talking about there, James, it reminds me of Hebrews 12. I think it's 12. Might be another one. Or it might be Peter with the sin that what so easily besets us. No, that's Hebrews 12.
12.
But we have that same thing. I mean, we can see the Lord move mightily in our lives. We can see the Lord move mightily in people's lives, in other people's lives. You see the Lord move mightily in all kinds of situations. We even have the testimony of the old scripture, and that putting off that, it so easily get your mind to forget that. You know, this next situation that comes up, and it gets you off, it can get you off so quick if you're not focused on the Lord. And that belief, and you'll forget all about what the Lord has done. You forget all about how the Lord moved in that situation. Forget all about it. All you see is the situation, you're doomed.
And need to be learning how to do 2 Corinthians chapter 10, holding every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And casting every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, cast it off. Cast it off. But it can so easily happen. And that's where...
The banging question that everybody's curious about in the chat was, James' mic was open, and apparently somebody was, you know, hammering him in the head, and that was what the clicking, the hammering sound you were hearing was. So somebody was having at him.
I think Lydia was hammering the coffee table in the other room.
Well, that's helpful, yes.
What are you talking about? But what the point of those things are, and what the Lord showed him, is what that we can move forward in faith and have confidence in the face of any situation, as Daniel did, as Paul did, as, you know, we can go on. And there's a place, that's a choice. That's a choice that you make. To believe God, notwithstanding what the situation looks like, what that your own understanding is telling you. And that's a choice. And, you know, we see clearly in Hebrews 4 where it didn't profit those. I mean, you had the children of Israel, that first generation, seen the deliverance, seen the power of the Lord, seen the deliverance of the Lord, had the gospel preached unto them, as well as unto us. And yet, they still chose not to believe. That wasn't for them to still not to believe. That was them so they can choose to believe God.
That very same
and to build
condition,
that confidence in Him.
That very same tradition, condition is evident today. And look at the United States, man. Look at the condition of the church in the United States. If the condition of the church was better, the condition of the country would be better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it the testimony of everything out there tells you that the church has lost its saltiness. Absolutely. So, you know, the the same people, but in the same condition as children of Israel out in the desert. People who have had the power and presence of the Lord. And, you know, they've had his provision, even, and rejected it and wanted to go do their own thing. In fact, they wanted to go do it back in Egypt. It was back, as when I was a lot younger, we'd say back, go back to the BC days before Christ. Before Christ in our lives. It was like, you know, yeah, I'm a sinner and all that, but he had a whole lot more fun than I did, and that's not fair.
He's pointing at me, guys. Paul, a lot
no,
of
I know yeah. The kind of fun you had, and that ain't fun.
No, that's what I was about to say. I didn't know if you were directing, so thanks for saying that, because I tell you, no, it was not.
Wasn't any fun for me either. So,
You said something interesting there, Paulie, and it says the shape of the country, you know, in referring to the church, the shape of the church, and it losing that saltiness, you know, as I see that, you know, you boil it down, the world's going to be the world, but that the church is supposed to be salty. And what does salt do? I mean, back in the day, you cut up a piece of meat. They didn't have refrigerators. They salted it. They cured it with salt. They keep it from going bad. It holds back corruption. And the church is losing that saltiness. And it refers down. I mean, I look down and I look just... I remember Scott once again bringing us up another week. That talking about that revival and where that revival started. And he says, draw a circle around yourself. That revival starting right there. You know, what is your, you know, is the home salty?
What does Peter say?
You know,
Peter says, the judgment begins with the household of God.
Amen.
That means in your personal space, it just the same place the revival starts. It's in your heart,
right?
Is where it
yep.
starts.
Absolutely.
That means I start concerning myself about the things of the Lord, what pleases Him. All that matters. Nothing else matters.
That's exactly right. And that comes down, you know, that judgment first comes to the house of God. That is exactly right. And I tell you, just not too long ago, some of the things being revealed to me in the midst of, within myself, and can look around and see in my household or workplace where there hasn't been that saltiness. Has it been? And I needed to start making some decisions. And it was a graceful thing for me to see these things, because this gave me opportunity to start making different choices in obedience and faith in Him. And when I started choosing those things, you can see a change start to happen. And it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. So, you know, you start yourself, your home, where the church is at, the body is at, where you're at. You start looking at these.
What was Jesus say? He said, wherever two or more gathered
in my name, there I am in the midst.
There I am in the midst. And if there's a disconnect between you and the Lord, it's yours. It ain't His.
Right.
It's on you, not on Him. And there's no need to be
a disconnect.
There's no need to if you realize that there is that case, he's at hand. All you got to do is reach out there, grab him.
Amen. Amen. And it, the things and the places, and as those scales come up off your eyes of seeing where things are at, in the sense, guess what? That's good, because that's opportunity for you to change your mind and turn unto the Lord about going about His way and all these things.
That's right.
And it's yet opportunity. Like you said, the Lord's at hand. And you're surrounded. We're surrounded by the counsel of the Lord to go forward in any situation. We have the scripture, the word. Paul clears right out what a family looks like, what the bodies look like. He clears that right out. Not only that, we have a scripture, we have those that are over us, and the Lord that can give us direct counsel in the things that are at hand. It's not that you're not left without knowing
and the connectedness
His way and His connection to these, His connection, as you should, as you were saying. Go ahead.
The connection between Hebrews 11 and 12, I mean, they run hand in hand. So great a cloud of witnesses. The witnesses are giving testimony of what faith looks like. They look
Amen.
Like Abraham. They look like, you know,
Isaac.
Rahab. They look like, great.
Moses. David.
Moses.
David. Yeah, I'm still trying to think of the, Samson.
Samson.
Like Samson.
Yep.
And what did these have, these people have testimony of themselves in the natural? I mean, philanderers and they were sinners.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, you look at Moses, murder.
Murder.
Look at David, murder and adultery. Look at,
the testimony of the Lord about these people in Hebrews is that they're, you want to see faith, look at them.
Yeah.
You want to see faith in what it looks like, look at them.
Absolutely.
They are the testimony, the great cloud of witnesses, and the testimony is this faith works. And it's accounted to you for righteousness. That was the deal with Abraham, that was the deal with Samson, that was the deal with Moses, that was the deal with David, every last one of them, that was the deal. That's the gospel.
Amen.
The law is excluded.
Amen. And what you also see in that, it, you know, as I was saying, you know, Moses a murderer, David a murderer and adulterer, Samson a whoremonger, the Rahab was a harlot. It shows the grace of God to cover
there
that, and it's sufficient.
No respect of person. No matter who you are, grace is available for you.
No matter what you have done.
No matter what you have done, Jesus Jesus covered it.
Took it out of the way.
Took it out of the way. The charges that are nailed to the cross, He took them out of the way.
Amen.
Charges got dropped.
That's right. And so that, it just shows more clearly the grace of God. It shows more clearly how the gospel covered.
But you look at these people in the natural, it does no testimony of anything good. That's why you can't lean on your own understanding. Because the testimony of God about these people is you've got some spiritual discernment going for you. These people, they got the deal. And they trusted the Lord. And that is the equalizer. That's where there's no respect of persons. If you believe God, He reckons it to you as righteousness. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done.
That's right.
That grace is the equalizer. Say again?
Paul, they realized it didn't matter what they did in their past. It mattered what Jesus did.
Well,
with the promise.
Right.
It wasn't about them, it was about Him.
Amen. And it was about,
even then they didn't know Jesus. Yeah. It was still God providing a sacrifice for Abraham and Isaac. And him, Abraham absolutely trusting that God's word was true. And that if he let Abraham kill Isaac, then he'd have to raise him from the dead, because his word is true. And he promised him something. He knew God.
And it was about his being the perfect sacrifice. So it was about what his obedience to the Father. He was perfectly obedient. It was about Jesus and his perfect obedience. And that's what they trusted on.
Yeah,
that's what they trusted on. Because you see where the Lord showed David what was going to happen to Jesus. You see it clearly what was going to happen. I mean, the Lord, you see where David wrote the psalm. And it goes on as what Jesus was doing on the cross. And the sufficiency of that.
And Abraham prophesied, he said, God will provide the ram. Don't worry about it. So, you know, Abraham understood the deal. And the deal has not changed any. Although Abraham was before the law. Blindness I'm assuming Gail typed in the chat. So, like having your eyes scaled over, you need to have somebody descale your eyes. Spiritual blindness is no fun. I mean, there's no need to remain blind and ignorant to spiritual things. That's what the Lord's discernment and his wisdom, and the more you get it, the more time you spend pursuing the Lord and his word and his ways, spend time with his people, spend time with his ministers, the more the scales come off. Because he's about revealing himself to his people. And he's not going to stay hidden. You can find out. You can find that relationship. Doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done, or where you've been to again and what you've done. You can avail yourself of that grace and mercy and the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Now, get it fixed. Learn how to stay in that relatedness.
You and I were talking about the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I brought it up, and you're talking about being, you know, we've called it the sweet spot, that sweet spot, and that where your joy is just full, because in the sense why it is full is because of the, of being connected back to that life source again that you were disconnected from. And as you go forward and obedient to that, doing that which you are created to do, that joy becomes full. So
it's just like that interaction with Jesus, and Jesus washed their feet. I've done this so you can see how it's done. And then he says, when he's finished telling them about that, he says, happy are ye when you do these things. It is your place of contentment in the Lord is learning to follow his example. He even specifically in John. John makes, in case you're not following, this is, I'm doing this, I'm showing you these things so that your joy may be full.
Not only that, and Jesus was saying it, that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Jesus was saying it.
Yeah.
John brings it forth more than I think the other Gospels do. That, I mean, he it is a commentary in the narrative that John's giving out. It says, that, by the way, this is, I'm telling you this stuff so that your joy may be full. It is something characteristic of John in both the Gospel and in 1 John and the others, that we don't always need to know the why, but he tells you about, just reminding you how good the Lord is, how good the Lord is, how good the Lord is. This is not a series of hoops through you jump through, just so he can watch you jump and be desperate and run around. He loves you. He made all the provision for you that you need. His obedience, the power of his sacrifice, the power that was in his blood to cover all sin, to be able to bring you back into relatedness.
You partake of that.
That's right.
Just as Jesus did. Just as Jesus partook fully of what the Lord, well, the Father, in that communication, we can have that same connection.
That's right.
And go without nothing lacking in that connection.
As a matter of fact, everyone should have that. They should be fully exercised in that connections. Pressing on to learning how to maintain that connection. It's about constantly reaffirming, constantly choosing that, reaffirming. I'm going to doubt my doubt and create. Hey, that's a lot of writing. There's no way I can talk and do a shit when we read all that.
I'm reading it. Go ahead, man. Keep talking.
Yeah, that doesn't make you helpful either. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. That Romans says, tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh hope. Experience worketh hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. You've got that process to go through. He says he glories, Paul says in Romans, he glories in tribulation, and that's why it is the process by which you learn, and the commitment point of the part of that patience word. It's unswervable. You can't be knocked off that path of pursuit of the things of the Lord. His patience is reliable. He's faithful. And that's what you're learning there. You're learning how faithful he is.
Absolutely.
And you follow his example and be faithful to him. After the same example of faithfulness in Jesus.
And Angie, I mean, it follows up with Angie and putting that out in the Romans, where it says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, And I know that word us there is he's talking about him and the apostles, but that's something that we are able to partake of too. And that no matter what comes against them, I mean, you know, you're talking about Paul glorying in tribulations, you know, what Paul wrote here in Romans.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of Christ. You know, I was reading in 16, John 16 last night, and it says, and the joy that you have, no man can take from you. And so what you see is no matter what situation comes your way, whatever the enemy's trying to do, no matter what people are trying to do, or the enemy using people to try to do, it doesn't matter.
If you've lost it, and you ain't got it anymore, and no man can take it from you, what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that I'm either in disobedience, or there's the enemy's got some kind of oppressive thing going on me.
Right. Or you walked away from it.
Yeah.
Or you walked away from it.
That's, yeah.
And
I don't mean I didn't really mean to say disobedience. I meant to say unbelief. Unbelief will cause you to lose the joy.
Well, I mean, if you're an unbeliever, if you're in unbelief, you're going to be disobedient. The fruit of that is disobedience.
Right.
If you're in, if you believe God and in belief, then you're going to be obedient. That's going to be the fruit of that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to act in accordance believing Him. You know, just as Abraham did.
Because the root cause is unbelief. It's
right, exactly.
Disobedience.
The root cause is unbelief. And that's where, you know, but as we're going, those tribulations, he glories in tribulations. Why? Because he learns confidence in what the Lord has done and what he's able to do. He learns a confidence in the Lord and a trust in the Lord. Of Jesus' faithfulness to his promise and what he said he was going to do. That's why he glories in those tribulations, because it gives them that to practice.
It equips us to be able to stand and stay with him in heaven.
Amen. And it equips, and not only that, it's a testimony for others to learn of the graciousness and the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they can receive that as we have received it.
That is right. Yeah, that's right. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But make no mistake, it is a war.
That's right.
You better learn how to utilize the weapons.
And it is just that. It's you have, I remember kind of going over last night some of the Bible study. I mean, you've seen where I kind of used Steve as an example, where Joseph was resurrected. His son was resurrected from the dead. He died right there. Now, Lord's given the church the power. It's just up to us to step out in faith and walk in it. So going a little bit on what Angie's saying here. And most people that call themselves Christians today would have came in and seen that dead child and been holding a memorial service and then blaming God for it.
Yeah.
Or it's God's will that this happen. No. No, it's the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, you're talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But Steve remembered that the Lord gave him the power. The church, the power. Steve remembered the teachings of Davy and how Davy stepped up in faith. Mm-hmm. Not in his own strength, not in his own power, but in the Lord's power and strength. And rebuked that spirit of death. And see, that's what it means when you actually believe God. That's what you'll do.
These signs shall follow them who believe.
And if we don't go about receiving that and partaking of the goodness of the Lord, because like you said, that's a war. That was the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
And we need to take those good things of the Lord and walk in them and rebuke that spirit of death as was done. And that's for us. He's given those things. He has not left us without.
That's right. And, you know, I've both been scared when I realized what my attitude was like, and I've seen what some other people's attitudes have been like on occasion. I've been scared for them because there's God is not. He's not mean. He's not unnecessarily ugly to people. He's not that mean old guy with the white beard in the sky that's looking for an opportunity to beat and torture and slay all the people here on earth. Well, and that's the course of the enemy, man.
Absolutely. Were we not just talking about those men of faith?
Yeah.
Those great cloud of witnesses and how they were sinners and how they fell. And Paul, as you were talking about your attitude.
That attitude is in rebellion. And it, you can't get there from here unless you agree with God. When you agree with God, put off all that unbelief, that righteous, that self-righteous baloney, and agree with God. Then you pay attention to His testimony and avail yourself of all these things. It doesn't look like most churches I've ever been in present it to be the case. It's like a nebulous, metaphysical, pie-in-the-sky sort of stuff that there's no physical connection to at all. I mean, by the world standards, some of these people are nice folk, but they don't know what they're talking about.
And, you know, going, and what caught my attention when you were saying, and, you know, you've seen your attitude in the past and all these things, but, you know, does the Lord care about those things? No, He just cares about where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Did the Lord care about that?
None of that stuff just separates you from Him. Right.
Did He care about what David did and Moses did and all those things? No. All you see is the great cloud. Not after he repented. He put his faith. They put their faith back in Him. That's what the gospel's for. It washes those out. It blots those out. They are not to hold you back any longer. You don't have to be held back any longer.
That's right.
By the way you are, or your sin, or any of those. Those don't have any hold on you. Unless you give it place. So don't give it place. The Lord's called you out of that. He's called you unto freedom. He's called you unto life. He's called you unto partaking in His army.
So He didn't call Israel out there in the desert to die. It was their very rebellion and their unbelief that caused them to die.
Absolutely.
He brought them out of there to give them the promised land, to give them the inheritance.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted good things. He wanted to make them His people.
The ones who agreed with Him, His ways, and His minister, Moses, they went in.
That's right. Joshua and Caleb.
So, I mean, the Lord's faithfulness and to, you know, way longer than most men I know, me myself included, to patient and faithful to a fault. gave him every opportunity. I don't know. It's scary to even to think about being in that condition. I'm sitting there rereading Hebrews there about them dying in the desert, falling after the same example of unbelief. Don't do that yourself. Don't. It scares me, man. I don't want to. That unbelief is. It will. It's deceitful. It's like the deceitfulness of sin. It'll
kill you.
Kill you. You've been awful quiet there, James.
Well, when Phil was talking about the Lord, you know, doesn't care what you've done in the past, you all were talking about attitudes. The one important thing is there's when you ask the Lord for forgiveness, it's as far as east is from west. It has no importance to him at all. It's not, you're not accountable for it anymore. And the key to that is also for you to let it go yourself. The Lord's forgiven you. You need to let go and not hold on to that and allow it to keep you from moving forward.
Amen. What will keep you from moving forward and letting those things hold you back, James, is because of your unbelief in the gospel and the sufficiency thereof.
Right.
And that's the thing he's taken out of the way. Those don't have to hold this back anymore. What was I going to say? It reminds me of what you were saying as far as east is from the west. I remember a revival, and I think it was down at Charlie's place, and Charlie was preaching on this thing, and he was preaching on count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, and he was talking about how Satan the accuser, when you fall, there's Satan the accuser going to the Lord saying, see, look at your servant, he fell. But then you turn around and repent and ask for forgiveness. Turn around and repent and ask for forgiveness, and you trust solely on the sufficiency of the blood of Christ to cover that. Then the Lord turns around and goes to Satan and says, see, he does believe.
Amen.
And I thought that was a neat thing. That was a really neat sermon that I heard, you know, a couple years ago, I believe it was. It was pretty cool. I probably need to look it up and listen to it again. Matter of fact, I'd like to hear it again. Because I know it was said a lot better the first time.
All right, let's do a song, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
All right.
Let's see if I can do this without messing up.
But I'm not living up to your expectations. I've got to do better than this. I've got no excuses, no explanations. I've just got to do better than this. Lord, I've just got to do better than this. Since the day I found you, I've been trying to be someone who makes you happy.
Oh, please, stop singing. Stop singing.
Was that you, James?
No, that was me echoing.
Oh, was that really?
Yeah, it was. Oh! God, my ears.
That was awesome.
That hurt.
That was so funny.
Matthew Ward, they're doing a Keith Green song with Phil Cagey playing guitar.
Oh, man.
And
that went over the air, Paul.
Yeah. Yes, I know it went over the air. Of course it went over the air. It would not have echoed on me had it not gone over the air.
Oh,
man, I got to have ears cleaned out all over the country today.
Hey, with that music jamming in the headphones, though, you sounded real good, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sounded awesome. But, you know, that's a great song. It's a song of confession. The first place to do business with the Lord is in confession of your condition. Don't keep self-deception and thinking you're presuming yourself to be all right. Great song. Great song. And honesty. Honesty. And, you know, James, you brought up while I was jamming out to the music that, you know, the Lord's hand, the Lord's call to people has always been to give them grace and mercy if they would just humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. He would hear them from heaven and heal their land. There's no excuse for this country to be the way it is. But that judgment begins right here in the household of the Lord. And when they've judged us,
he's not speaking.
We have humbled ourselves. And we take that message out there that repentance is turn from your wicked ways. Be the Lord's again. Partake of all of his goodness. Why would you die? Why would you die? Well, that's a wrap, I think, for another week in the Hour of Truth. And y'all got a good laugh on me. And I know everybody's ears are just ringing all over the country. All in, everybody who is online here. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
And y'all have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.